her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it.
Sounds like a decision is imminent. Right around the corner. This week, actually. A decision on the tush push will finally have a resolution. Thank goodness. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Joshy, are you as sick of this as I am?
Couldn't be more sick of it.
Maximum sickness.
You're done with the tush push discourse?
I'm so done with it. Now, I probably would be...
The tish course, I think, is where you were going with that, right?
I probably would care less if the Packers weren't, and Mark Murphy weren't the NFL's useful idiot in this case, and pushing the narrative of what Roger Goodell and his NFL and their safety, health and safety protocols would like. But the Packers being constantly tied to this is like, sure, Matt LaFleur and Goody kind of went out there and did their part of the deal. I don't think they truly care. They want to play football. They want to build a good football team. It's Mark Murphy doing what Roger Goodell wants, but the Packers are being dragged through the middle of it like they're the ones who care the most.
Well, and to the point where last week on Unsportsman, like when they were like going through after the NFL schedule came out last Thursday, oh, top five games you should be paying attention to. Like Eagles Packers was on there because, oh, the Eagles are going to be pissed off because the Packers want to ban the tush push. Yeah, because, you know, when you're blocking Kenny Clark is actually the one who had the proposal. He went to Murphy, and right. Murphy's the one, like, that's not how any of this works.
Did you see that the last time they voted on this thing, it was 16-16? And again, it was an informal. Unofficial is the word. Unofficial, informal. There we go. Hey. We're going to get there. Unofficial vote, and it was 16-16. So now the latest, as we creep closer towards, hopefully, this resolution, is that the Eagles have been out there making calls. The Eagles are campaigning to say, let us keep the tush push. What do you imagine, Gabe, those calls are consisting of?
That's the crazy part to me. Like, who are you calling? Like, it's the owners that are. So if, like, Sirianni's calling up, Sean McDermott also still runs it, but if he's calling up... Vrabel out in New England. Hey, Mike, we should be able to keep this. Oh, yeah, why? What can you offer me if I... And because Vrabel doesn't make the decision. Now, Vrabel has to accept whatever explanation Sirianni gives him, try to run it up the flagpole all the way to Robert Kraft at the top of the organization. Like, the owners are the ones that are voting on this. So the fact that they're trying to whip up the votes to try to make sure that this thing stays in... Like, them and the Bills are really the only two teams that run this with any sort of consistency. And, oh, by the way, their head coach in the Bills has come out against the tush push.
I wish that Chewy was here this morning so I could ask him this question, because I don't think we have unearthed this yet. If you are a player on the field, does it bother you that they run the tush push? I know Chewy has pretty been consistent in his thoughts on it, but does it bother you? Is it one of those things where you're like, does your pride get in the way of... your position? What I mean by that is, are you okay as a player on the field that some executive, some front office is going to step in and go, no, we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want the league to do that anymore. We're taking it off. Does it depend on your success rate against it? What are the things that come into play when you are deciding as a player whether or not you are pro tush push or anti tush push?
I'm guessing most of them are pretty indifferent. And just whatever the rule is.
That was my guess as well.
Yeah, they're just, okay, that's the rule. Okay, cool. We'll play by that rule this year. That's my guess for most of these guys. Look, this reeks of desperation by the Eagles, probably because they know what everybody else knows. When the commissioner comes out against something, they're going to find a way to get it done. Whether it's through this vote, whether it's, oh, a point of emphasis this year, because how many times have we seen that? Where the league doesn't change a rule, but they have a point of emphasis somewhere. So they could find some rule in the rule book. Oh, point of emphasis now basically means you can't do that. Like, the league is going to find a way to no longer have the tush push, which shouldn't matter if you're the Eagles, because every Eagles fan I've ever seen try to defend it on social media says that, you know, Jalen Hurts can squat a Ford F-150. So if he's that strong, what do you need to push him for? Just run the regular quarterback sneak and everybody will move on with their days.
I was trying to make my way through the proposal, the Green Bay proposal. It's a lot. It's well, like
it's
too
very
long, didn't read is how I felt about it. But then I was like, come on, Jen.
Edited it. And
yeah.
Research.
Well, because it's hard to read some of the words that are like stricken out. Because
yes.
I know Pelissero and Ian Rappaport were tweeting out like the updated versions with the strike through of the things that teams were getting rid of as part of their proposals.
So I do think I found a simplified version of it. And I will go ahead and give you the things. No offensive player may, and there are four of them. One, pull a runner in any direction at any time. Two, use interlocking interference by grasping a teammate or by using his hands or arms to encircle the body of a teammate in an effort to block an opponent or push or throw his body against a teammate to aid him in an attempt to obstruct
an opponent.
I believe
that one is the one that's been struck out. That's no longer part of the updated.
The C, the third one.
No, the B,
the B.
Interlocking thing.
Okay.
The interlocking thing was scratched out, so that's no longer a part of the new proposal.
Okay. Immediately at the snap, push or throw his body against a teammate who was lined up directly behind the snapper and received the snap to aid him in an attempt to gain yardage. And it, is it all because this is too rugby?
Well, no. This was it jumped the shark. Because this has been around even before Sirianni was around. Like, the Eagles did this, not to the frequency.
Doug Peterson actually is
correct.
The one who is credited with starting it.
Correct, but they didn't do it to the frequency that they have the last handful of years because, well, Jalen Hurts is a tank of a human being, right? There's no, it's not a coincidence that the two teams that do this the most have tanks at quarterback in the Eagles and the Bills.
Yeah, if Cam Newton would have thought of this, they would have ran it a billion times,
100,
too.
100%.
Right.
But this has been around, hasn't been passed. It jumped the shark in the NFC Championship game
when
the Commanders were jumping offside,
trying to stop it.
Yep, and jumping offside, and then the second that the official was it Hercules Kid jumped on the microphone and said, "Hey, knock this off, or we're going to award a touchdown." That's when I think everyone collectively went, "Okay, this has gone too far. We need to get rid of it."
And completely fairly, because we were all mostly unaware that that was a rule as well. We had no idea. Really. Whoa, what are you talking about? You can't just award touchdowns. What is this, field day? What are we on a playground? Like, you know, oh, they've got seven kids and you've got four. We're going to reward them a touchdown. Like, that was very bizarre. So the decision is supposed to be made this week. And look, Gabe thinks it's an inevitability. It's just a matter of time. Like,
when's
like,
the last time? Think of a time, if you can tell me, the last time Roger Goodell stood up at a podium and said, "Hey, we are against this," and then Goodell didn't get his way. I can't think of a single instance. Like, every time they want to change a rule, like, yeah, once the commissioner has said, "Hey, we're going to be against this," and now he's got everybody on his, it's just,
what I hate about it, and if I'm being honest, I really couldn't care less one way or another whether it exists or it doesn't exist. It really doesn't benefit the Packers all that much. If it did, I think I might feel more strongly about it. I might understand. I would understand where Philadelphia Eagles fans come down on it, which is to say, just because we're good at something doesn't mean the league should be able to ban it. That being said, I hate that they use player health and safety as the reason why, right? The high and mighty, up on a pedestal, we're trying to protect guys' health. Meanwhile, behind closed doors, we all know that they're adding another game. Behind closed doors, we know that they are hoping to expand the season. Behind closed doors, we're hearing, ooh, NFL Europe, anybody, right? And none of those things have the players' benefit. And none of those things have the players' well-being in mind. Those are all to grow the game and to do what, Joshy? Make more what, Joshy? Thank you. And that's where I get frustrated with it. I get frustrated with, like, the whole, they'll pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Because it's the easiest thing for them to defend, right? Like, if, you know, oh, why are you against, oh, player safety? Oh, do you not care about player safety? Because we care about player safety. Clearly, oh, so you don't care about player safety. And they try to guilt you into coming into their side by, oh, clearly you don't care about player safety the way we do.
Right, but again, the data doesn't indicate
talking about data. We're talking about vibes and feelings
numbers
here, Jen.
Numbers and science.
Just because the numbers don't show that somebody's got hurt doesn't mean somebody won't get seriously hurt.
Well, and thankfully, they got that one guy who did get hurt. You got that one guy who did get hurt, so you can use that one guy who did get hurt and continue to say that it is player health and safety minded.
At the draft, we talked to VP of like player safety on the Mr. Relevant show. And he basically said, well, we don't have the evidence to prove it. We believe that through enough samples, this would prove out to be an unsafe play, which is hard to really determine what that actually means. I mean, from what we know about concussions, is repeated blows to the head like that do have an effect over time, but that would be like then every running play too. Like, so it opens up a weird slippery slope there where it's like, well, yeah, we know those linemen, if they are meeting heads often, will be in danger of having lasting effects. But does this one play affect it more than, say, just a run to the right tackle? I don't know.
Josh, you're asking too many questions. Again, it's vibes.
I didn't ask him those questions. This is based on vibes. He was a nice guy. He was from Wisconsin. He met us with smiles and answered, you know, not.
Can you imagine, though, Joshy going all, you can't handle the truth on the guy, you know, he's this nice guy from Wisconsin. He's player health and
VP
safety. And all of a sudden, Joshy.
Goodell's right hand man.
Out of his chair. He's like up in his face and he's like, tell the truth.
Did you order the code red?
I was in good vibes. I was just happy to be there. It was the draft. It was a good time. He had important people looking around. You bring important people to watch your interview. I'm already on
what
my heels.
What does an important person look like?
Suit.
That's it? Those
suit,
are your standards?
Slicked hair, and then just staring at you guys as you do an interview. That's what, it's a little intimidating.
So that makes you nervous. All that has to happen to make you a little squeamish is to have a dude with slicked back hair and a suit.
Yeah, you guys wouldn't be intimidated if there was someone just standing in the corner in a suit watching you the whole day?
Wait, hold on. I think we should get everybody's standard on what, when you see somebody, what they have for you to be like, ooh, that's an important person. Suit is one element of it. I will say the little thing in the ear.
Oh, jeez. That's terrifying.
Little thing in the ear.
And was you calling in an airstrike on me? What's going on here?
Little wire running behind.
Just take out the wine bar.
Down the collar of the suit. Yeah. Ooh, Joshy's going to pee his pants.
He's asking the concussion question. Fire, fire, fire.
How do we feel about a briefcase? Briefcase yes, briefcase no.
I feel briefcases out of, like, who walks around with a briefcase anymore? It's not 1960.
I wear sweatshirts and ball caps to work every day. I'm not the right person to ask this question to.
Briefcase makes me think, I don't know why, it's like schlubby old business guy who is kind of just hanging on to something for too long. And for all I know, he's got tiddlywinks in that thing.
What if he's handcuffed to the briefcase?
Well, now I'm interested.
Yeah,
Now I'm intrigued.
Like, that's the only way a briefcase can at any point make me wonder if it's important.
Combine blackout sunglasses with the suit.
Yep, black and the little thing over the ear. But now we're Secret Service.
Yeah, now we're...
Well, some of those guys like to make themselves look like
that's
that on
true.
Purpose.
Like,
it's
we have security for ESPN, but those guys are mostly wearing, like, ESPN security polos.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're very, like, they announce themselves, if you will. When I was covering Special Olympics and Vance's wife was there with their young son, they had a lot of security when we were over. Where was I? Italy this time?
You were in the Italian Alps.
Thank you. Thank you for that. It's hard for me to keep track, honestly. I just know that I was far away from home. All right, the Tush Push is supposed to be banned this week. They are voting on the Tush Push. Gabe thinks it's an inevitability that it will be banned because Roger Goodell wants it banned. And I think, Joshy, what bothered you the most was that the Packers are sort of the patsies here, right? The Packers are sort of the, all right, we'll propose it because you can't propose it, commissioner of the NFL. We'll take one on the chin for you.
Yeah, it feels like it was an old school payola. Hey, you guys got the draft coming to town. Guess what we want done?
Remember when we gave you the NFL draft and, you know, we got a lot of criticism for it? We scratch your back, you scratch our back. How about you propose to ban the Tush Push? Deal?
It seems like it's pretty simple. Yeah, I mean, all this stuff that happens with the NFL is very much, you do this for me, I do that for you. It's like very much a one-for-one
transaction.
Right, we reciprocate, and I mean, that's how a lot of business deals work too. I do this, you do this, now we both have our deal made. And is this going to continue in the ad policy world?
I have no idea. I have no idea. That's going to be the interesting part,
right?
Because this might be the first time where Murphy has like officially proposed something. But he has definitely stepped in front of microphones before and floated ideas. Because a lot of times the NFL likes to float ideas publicly, see how they're received before they do anything officially. And it seems like Murphy's been that guy before. So I don't know. So presumably Goodell and Murphy have a really good relationship. I have no idea what's going to happen when ad policy wanders in.
Yeah.
You would think he's got some sort of relationship with Goodell. He's been in the league forever. His dad was in the league.
Right. I would imagine they, yes. Yeah. They, I mean, he's kind of been like a right-hand man type deal, so I imagine it's a similar relation. I don't know. I just hope this goes away for a while. I'm done with it.
We got a lot of stuff to get to here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No big guy as he is coming back from his graduation. Certainly not his graduation, right? Family member's graduation.
Correct.
Chewy did graduate, though, right?
Yeah, he graduated from BC.
Sidebar?
Yeah, he did graduate, yeah. Well, because he always brags about how good BC is. And, like, he wouldn't care. If he didn't actually graduate, like, he wouldn't care about how good BC is.
Right, right. I just think, should we take him at his word on this one, or should we just...
Yeah, I'm sure he's got the diploma somewhere in one of the houses, on one of the properties.
Is there a diploma in the folder? Again, I'm not sure. I just, you know, I'm trying to put the pieces together here after all of these years and just wondering if that fine establishment did, in fact, you know.
Do I believe they granted him a diploma? Yes. Do I think he did all the things necessary to receive the diploma? Probably not.
To earn it.
Right.
Earn, but he has it. Diploma. The only thing that matters is if you have it or
proof is in the pudding.
At this point, you're exactly right.
It's a one or zero proposition.
Yeah. A lot of stuff to get to this morning. Apparently, Stephen A. Smith thinks that Giannis could be going to New York. We will talk about that. Also, there is a list out there of the Packers with the most to prove. And thankfully, the quarterback is on the list. We'll dive into that as Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on this morning. Stick around.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. No better time to upgrade your windows or doors than right now, because Pella is offering up to 6 years, 0% financing. They were just in my home, and you can set up your free in-home consultation. You commit to nothing at this point. Now, I wasn't necessarily looking at windows, but I'm looking at a new front door from our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. The customized options that they had were seemingly endless, and they were able to kind of give me a rendering of what it might look like, and now I kind of have an idea of what that new front door is going to look like on the outside of my house, and I can't wait for Pella to start work and get that new front door on the house. They'll listen to the vision that you have, suggest Pella materials and customizations to make it a reality, and then get 0% financing for up to 6 years. Think about that. 0% financing up to 6 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Deal ends May 31st, 2025. So visit PellaWI.com today and make sure you tell them that me, Gabe Neitzel, sent you.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player. And the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Always good to chat with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde about all things 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good morning, everyone. I'm great. Thank you.
We are doing well as well. What are the Packers doing with the right tackle competition?
Good question. I don't know.
Cool.
I mean, I seriously. I don't get it. Like, they drafted Anthony Belton in the second round. He is a tackle, a left tackle is what he played at NC State. But I just, at first I just wanted to think, well, maybe Steno just misspoke. But again, the fact that he included right tackle with left tackle and guard, which we knew left tackle was going to be a competition. The head coach and the GM both announced it earlier this offseason. And the fact that they didn't say, Aaron Banks has got to, he's got to compete too. Or Elton Jenkins, he's got to compete too. It's just the way it played out makes me think that, they don't think that Zach Tom is as good as apparently the two guys that used to play right tackle think, or most of the rest of us think. So again, I don't know. I know Josh, he floated the idea that it's some sort of negotiating ploy to drive down the price. I mean, I guess anything's possible, but I'm surprised that more people haven't I'm going to get accused of stirring up drama, but like the dude was essentially third team all pro. There's no such thing as third team all pro, but Zach Tom finished third in the voting for the AP all pro teams. Penei Sewell was the first team right tackle Lane Johnson was the second team right tackle, but Zach Tom got three votes. He was first team, according to Pro Football Focus. He had the highest grades, which I know aren't the end-all be-all, from them of his career, and yet, you know, he acknowledged that he didn't play as well as he would have liked to have because of the peck. But the idea that he's in an open competition, I would love it if someone would explain it to me because I don't get it.
Is there a possibility that at the end of the year, none of the three guys that are a part of that draft class are on the team in Walker, Tom, and Ryan?
Evidently, right?
I mean, those are the three in competition, I guess. I'm thinking, could Ryan end up being the one they end up extending? Like, if Belton wins the right tackle job and Morgan wins the left tackle job or vice versa, the whole thing is so strange.
It leaves me wondering if there has been, you know, and John Runyon would have been like the test case, if you will. If there has been some sort of shift in mentality that basically says, hey, these guys are a dime a dozen, and we'll just keep drafting new ones. We'll use them up, and then we'll draft new ones again.
But then why spend money on Aaron Banks?
Yeah, I don't know, other than the fact that the reason they had to pay Aaron Banks is because they missed on Josh Myers, right? If they had hit on Josh Myers like they would have on Creed Humphrey, had they taken him instead, then Elgton Jenkins is still playing left guard. They do extend him. And I'm not saying that Josh Myers is part of the use him up and move on from him. I mean, he is, in terms of how much he played, I mean, he started a ton of games. But, like, I think we can all acknowledge that even those of us that like Josh as a dude, you know, the league spoke on whether or not he's a starting center right now, right? I mean, the contract he signed with the Jets was to be a backup. So, again, I'm not saying that they should have signed him too. I don't know. And you know, this is one of those instances where being an old guy on the beat makes it difficult for me. Because once upon a time, when we would get to talk to these guys in a more intimate setting as opposed to at the podium, you'd say, hey, what's the deal here? Like, I'm not going to quote you, but explain to me what exactly, like, how on earth is Zach Tom, other than the blanket, well, everyone's got to compete, everyone's in competition, how is he someone that you think has to be either pushed or competed with, or possibly, to your point, Gabe, isn't deserving of an extension? I don't get it. I just don't.
I'd be concerned about the dynamic it's creating.
Agreed.
Right? And like this idea that you have to, and again, I understand it's the NFL. I understand it's a big boy league. I don't think anybody rests on their laurels, if you will. But at some point, it does feel like what you have done for the organization should have some merit. And it sounds like they might be shifting towards a, no, you're only as good as your last game. And since your last game was, you know, 8 months ago, you know, we'll see how things go in the fall. I just wonder if that's something they need to be concerned about going forward, that maybe mentality and then how that affects the culture of that group and, you know, all of those sort of things.
I agree. And it's at wide receiver too. Wide receiver is a little bit different, but it's, you know, look, I think we all want to feel appreciated in our job. That doesn't mean we're going to be complacent. That doesn't mean we're going to be lazy, but I don't know. And again, you can call me soft and the YouTube comments can be about how I'm sensitive or whatever else. But like, it does feel like that is their mentality. And I just don't know. I mean, we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago with Chu about, you know, Jeff Thomason was appreciated, but no one was like, oh, Jeff Thomason's competing with Chewy for the starting tight end job. Like, I'm intrigued by the thought process here, and I am curious what it does for guys, because this kind of goes back to, heaven forbid, kind of Aaron Rodgers' complaint about, you know, kind of the money ball approach of that there not being conversation or connectivity with the front office. I think this is how Goody wants it. And so, again, you said it. It's a big boy league. You got to earn your keep, but it just feels like an overcorrection to me too far over to the everyone's in a competition side of the spectrum. You don't want to be telling everybody, oh, your job is safe either. I get it. But there's something weird about it to me. And I'm glad I'm not the only one.
That 2022 draft class, Jason, is probably the best one Goody's had from top to bottom.
Is it?
I mean,
if you're not... If you're not going to re-sign any of the offensive linemen,
well, that's what I'm saying.
And you didn't give Quay Walker the fifth-year option.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is supposed to be.
You're not going
to
re-sign Romeo Doubs.
Who knows what happens with Christian Watson?
Yes.
Like, because this is, I mean, Quay Walker, starter. Devontae Wyatt, starter. Watson, when healthy, starter. Sean Ryan, starter. Mm-hmm. Doubs, starter. Tom, starter. Those are your first six picks. But if none of them are actually going to be like pillars or here long term, is it actually that good of a draft class?
Yeah, I can't understand. This is part of the not understanding it, right? Because I totally agree with you. Like, you get that many starters, and if you view them as all replaceable, not only does that say that you think that maybe they're not as good as we all think. And remember, I keep going back to this, but Goody had that line before last year's draft about, on average, teams re-sign 1.6 players from their draft class to second contracts. But maybe if you think they're all replaceable, maybe this is just, again, insight into his philosophy. But the problem is this. You got no margin for error then.
100%.
Right? You cannot miss on draft picks if you're just going to keep cycling them through.
Right.
And if you have a class like 2022, I got news for you. No, I don't care how good your system is and how good the guys you have on your personnel staff are, they are going to miss.
Well, and to be honest, the conveyor belt can't keep up, Jason. The conveyor belt, I'm picturing Lucy now with the chocolates and the, you know what I mean? But like, it can't keep up. You can't be pushing players in fast enough to replace the ones that you are kicking out and like you said, hit on every single one of them. That is Gabe, I think you just gave Jason an article with your 2022 draft guy by guy.
That's what I do here, really. I'm here to pitch story ideas to a talented writer, since I'm not a talented writer.
Does this just all go away if Zach Tom gets an extension? Is it as simple as until you get your second contract, you are in a competition and you earn everything every single time you go out there?
I don't think that's the way it used to be, Josh. And maybe that is how things are now, and maybe you're right. At the same time, you know, there are a lot of guys in that draft class that have played a ridiculous number of snaps and started a ton of games. And, you know, just because Goody says, oh, we want Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt long term, doesn't mean that he will actually keep them long term, right? Like, I think in Devontae Wyatt's case, I think he's just not convinced. So he wants to see more of them. In Quay Walker's case, I think they're, even though I thought he had kind of turned a corner last year, I think they're sitting there going, hey, we got Edgerrin Cooper. We think he's really good. If Quay Walker doesn't play well enough to deserve an extension in 2025, we will just move on from him and we'll draft another guy. So I think the Zach Tom thing, if he got an extension like at the start of training camp, it would certainly quell some of this. But I don't think it changes the overarching thing of they are definitely on the conveyor belt. And the image of Lucille Ball is perfect.
Last thing before we let you go, Jason. There is a article that Matt Schneidman put out about the Packers with the most to prove. Now, thankfully, Jordan Love is on that list because we all believe that he does need to take that step in his evolution in order for the Packers to get where they need to go. Who, in your mind, is next on that list?
Ooh. Well, who did Matt Schneidman have next on his list? Were they in order of... Because I have not caught up on reading. I was trying to get a lot of stuff.
They were not in order. They were just sort of gathered, if you will.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of guys, right? And I would put two former first-round picks at the top, well, maybe three, since I just mentioned Quay Walker. But I want Rashawn Gary, if I'm a Packers fan, I want Rashawn Gary to prove he's an elite pass rusher. So he's got that to prove. I think LVN has to prove that he's good at all. And Quay Walker has to prove, now that he's in a contract year, what he's capable of. So those would be the first three people I would spring to mind if I were to plagiarize that story.
Very good. If I were to borrow the idea, if you will. Gabe is happy to, you know, share the 2022.
Well, no, I don't need to borrow anybody else's ideas. I got Gabe generating. So I'm good.
It's great. All right, Jason, we appreciate
just make
you
sure
out
you,
with
you know,
us.
Hey, just make sure you get Keith the check and we can keep coming up with ideas, Jason.
We are going to go over that list when we come back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But before we do, guys, we have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, we're not the most handy people. So please consider Professional Construction Inc. when you do your next remodeling project, home addition, or if you're thinking about building a new home, because that's exactly what we do. Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They believe in building relationships, and they've been in the business for more than 20 years. You don't stick around for two decades unless you're doing exceptional work. Learn more about PCI and see their work at Professional Construction. Inc.com. That's professionalconstructioninc.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another? I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Tuesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we are checking out this article by Matt Schneidman where he compiled a list of, and I quote, Packers with the most to prove this upcoming season, facing pivotal seasons, he says. So we asked Jason Wilde who he thinks should be on that list. Sight unseen, he has not seen the list. He said LVN, Rashawn Gary, and Quay Walker. And I can tell you that two of those guys aren't even on Schneidman's list. Not to say that they don't have something to prove, but they weren't even top tier on Schneidman's list. And I said to Gabe, ugh, that's not great. The fact that Jason Wilde could think of two other guys on the Packers roster who have a lot to prove, the most to prove, that Schneidman didn't even compile means we got a lot of these guys. So I want to go around the list and each person take somebody from the list that Schneidman compiled and tell me why they are, in their mind, the most important. Now, again, when I mentioned this to Jason, I said outside of Jordan Love is on the list. So, Gabe, why don't we start with you there because you feel very strongly about
that. Yeah, because Jordan Love is 1 through 7. Like, he's 8, he's 9, he's 10. He's 1 through 10. When you give Jordan Love the type of contract that he got, or when Brock Purdy just got paid this last week, that you're giving that kind of contract because you need to be a top 10 quarterback. You need to be a top 5 quarterback. And with the way everybody's getting paid right now, that can't be true of all of them. But when you give that type of money, you're not able to spend at other places that maybe you would like to. So now the quarterback has to elevate everyone around him. I'm not saying that Jordan Love needs to be an MVP. But Jordan Love needs to be in the conversation of best quarterbacks in the NFC if this team wants to go where they're going. Yeah, it'd be nice if Lucas Van Ness got better at pass rushing or Keyshawn Nixon developed into these other things. But ultimately, the only thing that matters is Jordan Love good enough? It's such a quarterback-driven league when you look at the guys and the teams that were in conference championship games last year. It's, you know, guys that you consider to be some of the best. You know, Jaden Daniels working his way towards there. Jalen Hurts now have been to 2 Super Bowls. He's won one. Patrick Mahomes, his resume speaks for himself. Josh Allen just won an MVP. And those guys are all getting paid. And you look at what Josh Allen had in terms of the weapons around him. He doesn't have even the weapons that Jordan Love probably had last year and was still able to elevate his team to 13 wins in an MVP-type season. So Jordan Love needs to have that consistency, and he needs to continue his growth. I understand the injuries were a part of it last year, but now that's behind him. You're going into year 3 as a starter. You've got to take that big jump to justify this contract to get the Packers to where they need to go.
Jordan Love is on the list. Matt Schneidman did put Jordan Love on the list as one of the Packers players who has the most to prove next season. Joshy, who's the guy that stood out to you on the list?
It's Jaden Reed. I think there's a lot going on, especially after we heard the report from Adam Schefter, which we're not sure was actually a report. Jaden Reed needs to prove he's not a gadget player. He's got a ton to prove. He's got to beat the one-trick pony allegations. Is he going to be a guy that's going to be able to be on the field in two wide receiver sets? Is he going to be able to play in situations that are against man coverage? Is he going to be able to play on the outside? Is he going to be able to be the tool the Packers need to keep him on the field and not just be that slot wide receiver? Slot wide receivers are important, but a guy like Jayden Reed, who has the explosiveness and also disappears in the way he has, is he going to be an actual weapon? Or is he just going to be a guy the Packers have to force the ball into his hands and hope something happens in those 4 to 5 plays a game? If he wants another contract, he needs to be a lot more than what we saw last year from Jayden Reed.
Jayden Reed also on the list that Matt Schneidman has compiled over at The Athletic, Packers with the most approved 7 players, including Jordan Love, facing pivotal seasons. I'm going to go defensive side of the ball, and I think you all know where I'm going with this. We still don't know what the resolution is to the Jair Alexander situation, but we know that Keyshawn Nixon wants to be, thinks he is, cornerback one. Is he?
I mean, he is.
I mean, in name, it's kind of like Chewy, you know, graduating from BC. Did he?
It's like the Brewers in the earlier part of the, in the middle part of the 2010s. They didn't really have an ace. But, I mean, somebody had to be first in the rotation, right? Like, yeah. Somebody's got to be your number one starter.
But it's like anything else. Don't we have standards for what we deem an ace? Don't we have standards for CB1? I understand that he's filling that spot. So, Keyshawn Nixon, you said you wanted it. You put the carrot in front of you. You dangled it in front of you, went trying to go out and grab it. I still think he needs to elevate his play. I think there's a ton of metrics that you could look at where he's fine, but he's not top tier in the league. What would it take, Gabe, for Keyshawn Nixon to be a top cornerback in the league based on what you have seen from him when he has filled in that role?
Well, I mean, continued growth. To Keyshawn's credit, he continues to meet just about every challenge the Packers throw his way, right? Like, he's almost like the Rashid Walker of the defense, where, hey, we need you to do this. All right, I got you. Oh, we signed you to be a return guy. Can you do that? Yeah, I can be an all-pro return guy. Oh, we need you to play the slot now. Yeah, I can do that. Well, we've got a lot of injuries, Keyshawn. Can you play the boundary? Yeah, I can do that. And he has continued to answer the call every time they've asked him to do something. And if he's allowed to just kind of continue to focus being that outside guy instead of, hey, sometimes we need you out, sometimes we need you in, now we need you to return this punt. If they focus him solely on the outside part, I think he can continue to grow. Do I think he's going to be one of the best corners in the league? No, because if he was, he wouldn't have had to go through the journey in which he did. But I think he can be a perfectly fine cornerback for the Green Bay Packers.
But don't you need, especially with the way that we have seen the wide receiver position continue to evolve, don't you need to have a top-tier guy to at least shut down these receivers that are getting big bucks, that are bona fide number ones on a lot of the teams you're going to be facing this year? To say nothing of the duos that we have talked about that all we think are better than the duos that the Packers trot out.
If you want to play the way that Jeff Hafley played at BC, probably. But if you want to play the way the Packers did last year, which they still finished as a top-10 defense, you don't need it because you're going to be playing more zone. Like, Hafley ultimately wants to play more man. That's what he did in BC, and that's kind of the breadcrumbs that he's dropped, that he wants to play more aggressively like that. And you can only do that if you have those top-tier corners, but you can get by with, you know, assignment-sure guys that you can trust if you're playing more zone.
Let's go through the rest of the list. There are a lot of defensive guys. Kenny Clark is also on this list of guys who have a lot to prove. Marshawn Lloyd, that one surprised me, guys. I guess because maybe when I think about the running back position, I obviously go to Josh Jacobs, and I'm like, check, done. That obviously is not how it works in the NFL. You do have to have guys who can contribute and spell your horse. Do you agree that Marshawn Lloyd has a lot to prove this season?
Yeah, he's a third-round pick who played 6 snaps. I think that's what it was last
injuries.
Year. 6 snaps due to injuries. So, yeah, it's a position where the Packers got by with Emmanuel Wilson, who is just fine in that backup role. But they spent pretty high capital on you. They spent a third-round pick on you, so you've got to be able to hit the ground running and prove that you're better than Emmanuel Wilson in order to get the snaps that you deserve. Because I don't know how much special teams Marshawn Lloyd's playing. He's just going to be kind of that backup running back. And Josh Jacobs does have some injury history. He was relatively unscathed last year. I can't imagine that's going to continue this year and next year, that he's not going to miss any time the way he did in 2024.
I think it's especially big for him this year without the explosive element of Christian Watson. Lloyd was brought in to sort of be the explosive play guy and hit home runs. And if you want to add another wrinkle to that offense, having a guy like that out of the backfield, because Josh Jacobs is great, He's not going to run away from many people. And that's what they want Marshawn Lloyd to be, is sort of that complement that is going to provide explosives in another way for the team.
The last guy on the list who we have not addressed is Luke Musgrave. Again, we have talked about injuries, and injuries are a big part of his story so far. The article does go on to say that he is not going to supplant, or he's not going to get in front of Tucker Kraft as the featured tight end, but the emergence of another versatile tight end who can make plays down the field would do wonders for Green Bay's offense. We have heard so much about the hope for them to run a lot more two tight end sets. Sort of feels like Luke Musgrave is important to that game plan, Gabe.
For him, it's about staying healthy, because I think he proved that he could play and he had that potential. Like, how many times was he just wide open on our screen in those first 8-9 games before he had the injury as a rookie? Before Tucker Kraft, who was clearly behind him, then got that game action and then was able to supplant him. I think that's what makes them excited, because they know the potential that Musgrave has. It's just about getting him healthy enough so he can kind of get that momentum to get back to that spot while also growing Tucker Kraft. So for Musgrave, I think it's more about, I don't know what he has to prove necessarily. It's just, hey, you got to stay healthy, because if you stay healthy and we're able to kind of get you back to where you were and then grow off of that, man, this could be a really fun two tight end team. But for him, it's more about health. And it's not like he had, I pulled the hand. He had a lacerated kidney. Like, he's had these freak injuries. It's not like the Christian Watson, my hammy's hurt. Oh, this hammy's hurt. You know, it's not the soft tissue stuff. I don't know how you prevent a lacerated kidney. I don't know how you do that. And it's just kind of been that freak stuff for him. So hopefully he can avoid that freak stuff and they have really two strong tight ends.
I think what he has to prove is basically, is it worth the Packers running two tight ends more and more and more? Is he going to be explosive? Is he going to just be a factor that demands being on the field?
Well, and in that case, like, he's kind of in competition with some of the wide receivers too.
Yes,
because correct. If Jaden Reed grows and they have to have him on the field more and they don't trust him on the outside, that means you're taking a tight end off because you got to go three mm-hmm. wide receivers. So he's, even though he's in a different room, he's in competition with some of those other wide receivers in terms of playing.
Wicks fits that bill too.
800-990-3776. Is there anybody we are missing? Is there anybody who has stood out to you, the loyal listener, that needs to improve their game, that has a, quote, more to prove season ahead of them? Let us know. 800-990-3776. That's our Carbless talk and text line. You can also weigh in on the YouTube stream. Always stream the show on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. We will take a break. Gabe has an idea for a marathon. It's not his idea, but since Gabe is the idea giver this morning, I thought I would attribute it to Gabe and then tell you.
I don't want credit for that idea.
We'll talk about that right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
BOGO, Iconi's original thin crust. You can find it right now at Pick 'n Save and Metro Market, and it is still going strong. 7 more days left on this sale for Iconi's. Buy one, get one at Metro Market and Pick 'n Save with Iconi's Frozen Pizza. You can enjoy pizzeria quality without those pizzeria prices. Just such a great crust with the cornmeal on the bottom that Iconi's is famous for. So make sure you head to your Pick 'n Save or Metro Market and find Iconi's original thin crust. It's buy one, get one through May 27th.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Tuna. Dating app. It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we, for once, grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Look, after I finish a long run, I'll admit, having a concrete mixer from Culver's, maybe some cheese curds, sounds fantastic.
I'll tell you what, Jen. After running the half marathons that I've run the last 2 years, the lakefront ones, they give you an Uncrustable after. Oh, that Uncrustable hits. It hits hard.
Is it the so grape good. Jelly?
They do have the strawberry ones. I'm a grape guy, so I typically veer for the grape one. Yes.
They just dropped a raspberry. Ooh. Raspberry jelly.
All right, now we're
talking.
And
they also, my kids love the Nutella Uncrustables. Oh. Pop them in the toaster. Chocolate gets a little melty. Mm-hmm. And then I also saw that they are doing honey.
Like peanut butter and honey?
Peanut butter and honey Uncrustables now.
I need the jelly.
Let's get back to the Culver's Marathon. You told me this morning and I went, bleh.
So there's this guy, Clay from Wisconsin, who runs a TikTok and YouTube page called Far-Fetched Fitness. And apparently last week he released a video where he ran what he called, again, this was a run of one, he called it the Culver's Marathon. Now, it's somewhere, I don't know, I didn't recognize all the different Culver's that he stopped at in the video. It's somewhere in southeastern Wisconsin here, because he ran around Culver's Stadium, which is the high school football stadium for Kettle Moraine High School, out by where Chewy lives. And what made this the Culver's Marathon is and it ended up being over 27 miles, so he went above and beyond. But he stopped at 5 different Culver's throughout the course of the run, and was fueled by nothing but cheese curds and concrete mixers. And he doesn't just go for the minis, Jen. Like, in this video, I mean, he's got some pretty sizable ice cream that he's putting down his gullet before he hits the road and starts running again. Okay. Cheese curds and ice cream.
Okay. Listen, like I said, after a marathon, sure, I'll house some curds. I'll down a Culver's mixer. But during a marathon, I can't think of anything I'd rather stay far, far away from than ice cream and fried cheese. Like, I'm having a tough time thinking about it right now. Well, that's just like jostling around in your belly. Like, the cheese, that's not something that like quickly is digested, right? The thing with the cheese curds is they hang around. I can't imagine doing anything like this.
So when I was growing up, like, the only like school sanctioned sport I could do as a fifth grader was cross country. So I ran cross country because I wanted to do a sport. And we had a Sunday practice. But at one point, a little bit before practice, my entire family was going for some Sunday ice cream at a place called the Ice Cream Station, very creatively named, in Horicon. I don't want to miss out on the ice cream. So of course I housed some ice cream before I went to practice. That's a mistake you only make once.
I bet.
That's a mistake that you only make once.
And you know what's great is when you make that mistake, everyone around you who witnesses the mistake, well, then they don't make the mistake either.
Yeah, that's one. Running and ice cream are two things that just do not go together.
I've investigated this fella. I've gone to look up some of his work,
yeah,
his accounts. On TikTok, he only has 950 followers. On YouTube, 13 subscribers. This is pure love of the game and a sort of masochism that I can't, that's indescribable. I expected him to have like tens of thousands of followers. He's getting pretty good views on his Culver's. He also did a Quick Trip marathon where he ran to Quick Trips and only ate Quick Trip meals from like the hot bar.
Yeah.
He's done a beer and brat where he filled his Camelback with NA beer and then had brats along the way. There's something here, and I don't know if this is going to be his push into the Culver's thing is going to be the right thing to sort of send his accounts into the stratosphere. But right now, this is just a guy who's punishing himself and putting him through these brutal things. Just love of the game. Pure love of the game.
He had a video, and I have not watched it, where he ran an ultra marathon, which is 31.1 miles.
Whoa.
But he only did it in a roundabout.
What?
He just ran around the roundabout until he got to 31.1 miles.
Oh my gosh. How many laps would that be?
I don't think I want to know.
Like, the most a roundabout could be is what? Like, maybe 200 meters? Maybe?
That video, 64 views on YouTube.
Well, that's going to go up. That's going to go up. Maybe we could kick him some attention. Maybe we retweet it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Maybe we post it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Instagram account. Maybe we get this guy on the show. If he is a southeastern Wisconsin guy, it sounds like he's a Jen, Gabe, and Chewy guy, right? It sounds like, I mean, we appreciate the oddball. I mean, we are. We're
Let's
a bunch
just say
of
freaks.
Oddballs.
We like freaks. I love freaks.
Weirdos.
Okay. I
love weirdos.
I respect that Joshy did the research and that this is purely for the love of the game. Uh-huh. Like, this guy's just coming up with wacky ideas and like, oh, I'm going to have fun doing this. Don't care how many people actually see it, but this is just going to be fun.
Yeah, I mean, you got to start somewhere, and punishing yourself with, we all love the Culver's concrete mixer. I'm to the point where I don't want to have too big of a meal before I golf because I'll be walking too much. To be pounding concrete mixers has to be just devastating.
I mean, he looks fine. There is one point where during the video where he's like, oh, stomach's cramping.
Yeah. Well, of course.
But like, for the most part, he looks fine.
Yeah.
He looks pretty unfazed. throughout the course of this
Clay
thing.
From Wisconsin, we are looking for you. We're going to try to reach out to Clay from Wisconsin, see if we can get him on the show. And look, I don't want Chewy to miss out on this, so we'll push it to later in the show. But let's see if we can get Clay from Wisconsin, who did the Culver's Marathon on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Also did the Ultra Marathon in a roundabout. What? We'll talk about the Bucks and Giannis. And oh my goodness, is there a new suitor for the Greek Freak? Speaking of freaks, we love them. We'll talk about that next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.